Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. I want to depart from our study of Daniel just for a bit. Some of those have been pretty theologically demanding sermons, so we'll take one that's a little less demanding, although a beautiful text. Beautiful text. Verse 28, chapter 2 of 1 John. Excuse me, 28, verse 28. And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Concentrating on verse 1 of chapter 3, once again, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. If you stopped for a moment and thought and meditated on that statement, we really can't understand it. We can begin to understand some implications of it, but to understand it fully and to understand it completely, how God, the great, eternal, almighty God, who has no need of anything, is totally complete in and of himself, has the love to bend low and to identify you as his children, and even more than that, lavish upon you the love that he has. I think when we come to that point of glorification, when we get to heaven, the depth and capacity of that statement will just simply overwhelm us. When we see all of our life brought back before us in one way or another, and then to see Jesus Christ standing there and say, I love you, and I've done all that's necessary to ensure that my love for you is enough, and now you come and enjoy all of this that has been prepared for you. I'm ready. The Father reveals his love in many ways. Look around you. I want to ask you to think for just a moment, just as I ask the children. Think for just a moment how those people around you show their love for you. Can you identify the things around you that identify the ways that the Father loves you? Think for just a moment. The things that are about your life, the things that make up your day, the things that make up your existence. Can you identify the way the Father loves you through those things? The family that surrounds you, Justin and Hannah. Turn around and look at the 3.5 pews, 4 pews that are filled behind you. God loves you. And he shows you through this. Our families, daily provisions. Some of you have overcome some great illnesses. and are now sitting here healthy. God's love. The children that we speak of, that I have spoken of, is a measure of God's love. How about Himself? How about God Himself? Just the mere fact, the possibility that you have some idea of who God is. Some small facet of knowledge, of understanding of what God is. Comes entirely, completely, and wholly from His love for you. There are so many people in this world today who have no idea who God is. He has opened your eyes and opened your ears to His knowledge because He loves you. The greatest revelation of God's love is seen, is read in John 3:16. Can someone recite it for us? We all memorized it. Somebody start. Some would say that's the most famous, most popular verse in the Bible. I would dare agree to that because of its message. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Now, if you're not careful, you'll lose some of its meaning. For God so loved the world that He gave Himself. God gave Himself to you. Mom, Dad, when you love someone, do you give yourself to them? No questions asked. Sure you do. But that statement in John 3:16 is speaking about salvation. It's speaking about eternal life. God loves you. He has guaranteed through the coming of the Holy Spirit. He has bought, purchased, provided, whatever word you want to use, everything necessary to ensure your eternal life. There is nothing greater in the aspect of love that can be given to you. Eternal life. But how do we receive that? I mean, you just said it to me. We read it. We think on those things. But how do we receive that? How do we grow in that love? It's one thing to say that you love me. But I hear people use that word a lot. I love you. But then the actions don't support that word love. We Americans butcher that word love. We'll say, I love my dog and I love my child. Y'all know me well enough. I have a problem with that. But what does it mean to love? How do we acknowledge the love of God and bring it into our lives and begin to grow in that love and in that knowledge? Turn with me to John chapter 17. We have spoken on this several times, but I want to hit it again here. John chapter 17 is this high priestly prayer. Jesus is praying for Himself and is coming to the Father. Then He prays for His disciples. He prays for those who are in and around Him. But He says something very, I'll say, curiously. And He identifies what eternal life is. Verse 3 of chapter 17. Verse 3 of chapter 17 says, now this is eternal life. So whatever comes after this is the definition or the defining character or is the explanation of eternal life. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So eternal life is or begins in a knowledge capacity. Begins with a knowledge. Begins with a knowing. Begins with understanding and knowing who, what God is. So we read the statement, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now how do I take that in and make that into a part of my life and live and grow in that? It begins as a knowledge thing. It doesn't stay there, I pray.
But it begins as a knowledge. Do you know God? Do you know who God is? Do you know what God is? Do you know the capacity of God? How do we do this? Verse 2 of the passage I read in 1 John says that we should become like Him. How are we going to become like Christ? How are we going to grow in this knowledge? How are we going to grow in this love? It is summarized by saying, God has exposed Himself in many, many different ways. And in those different ways, we come to know Him. We call it the means of grace. What are the means of grace? What are those things, those practices, those items, those things within our life, those things within our faith that expose God to us and expose God to us and expose His love to us? There are many of them. As I said, we summarize them by calling them the means of grace. We have talked about this before, but it bears going over again because the Father loves us greatly. And He has given us many, 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 many different ways of understanding and knowing that love, if we would only take hold of them. The first means of grace, the first identification of God's grace toward you that we identify is what many of you are holding in your hands, the Holy Scriptures. About a month ago, I asked you, how many of you read these Holy Scriptures daily? And I'm sorry, but I was disappointed that only about 25% of you raised your hand. Now, I'll take that into consideration because some are not going to raise their hand, depending on what question you ask. But, this is a serious question. How many of us partake of God's love daily through the reading of His Scripture? How are you going to know who God is if you don't read the letters He's written you? How did Hannah and Justin know that they had a responsibility to bring Emma here for baptism? Their mom and daddy said so? Yes, partly. But where did they get that from? Jesus commissioned. Jesus brought baptism into play as a sacrament. It is an exposing of His grace. I'll speak more of that in a moment. But the Holy Scriptures, folks, we have to read His Word. We have to be in and about the Holy Scriptures if you are to know anything of Him and His love for you. Secondly, what you're doing right now, what we are involved with right now, the preached word. I can remember as a child, I hated going to preaching because it was my grandfather. And he knew me all too well. He knew me all too well. And his preaching, I could have been the only one in the room. But, sitting under the preached word has nothing to do with the individual. It has nothing to do with me. It is this mystical, supernatural thing that God, through the Holy Spirit, is doing right now. That we have our Scriptures opened. And He has anointed one who can stand at the front of the room and bring forth the Word of God to the people. Then you, if you remember the newsletter article last month, then you, the hearer of the Word, are as well being supernaturally, mystically blessed by your sitting here listening to the preached Word. How will they know? How will they know if someone doesn't preach to them? Paul said that to the church in Rome. How will you know if someone doesn't preach to you? Oh, well, I can study and read it on my own. That's a good thing, but that's not all. You must, as a Christian, come and be a part of the preached word. Thirdly, personal witnessing. You. Mentoring. The ladies are going to speak about it. You who are older, who take care of the younger. You who are providing guidance to someone that's having trouble at a particular time. That personal witness. What has God done in your life so that I can look for that same in my life? How am I supposed to know what God is doing? I read it in His Word, but I don't understand it completely. I heard the preacher say it, but it still doesn't make sense to me entirely. Would you sit here and please explain it to me? Absolutely. We have some wonderful mentors, wonderful teachers who never stand in front of a classroom, who are seated right here, who share the Word of God with the people around them. That's God's love. Because He knows we learn from each other. We are a church. We are a body. We are a mechanism, an organism, living and breathing. We must help each other. Fourthly, prayer. How awesome is it that you can sit down and have a literal conversation with the Almighty? That just blows my mind. That He is not too busy. He's not too big. He's not too otherworldly to sit and listen to you as you pray. And through that prayer, His listening is an aspect of His love. Someone who doesn't care about you is not going to listen to you. Fellowship with believers. This is speaking to what you're doing here also today. Coming to church. Acts 2, verse 46 through 47 says, every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts. Boy, if we ask y'all to come to church every day, or ask us to come to church every day, an hour on Sunday kills some. I'm amazed at the people who are not regularly in church. Now, I know there are extenuating circumstances. But if you are a believer, then God has called us to come together to meet. And by your missing a service or missing a time, you are missing the edification. You are missing the preaching. You are missing the disclosure of God's Word. You are missing the love someone has to share with you. Let me ask you to do this. Look around you. You guys who are not normally here at New Sterling, be still. But look around you, those of you who are at New Sterling. You know who sits around you because we've all got our assigned seats. Look around you. And if you notice that someone who typically sits near you is not here today, give them a call this week. Not to give them a guilt trip in any way. We ain't going that way. But just simply to say, I missed you. I saw your spot in the pew was missing or was empty. I just wanted to say I missed you. And we've got some folks who are typically here. Tony and Linda's on vacation. We've got others that are away. Give them a call. Let them know that you missed them. Because by them not being here, you missed something that they could bring and edify and encourage you or you them. I love and I want to thank you so much for standing out on the lawn after church. That's fellowship. You catch up on the stuff going on. You catch up on the health. You catch up on the cows and you catch up on the work and all this stuff. That's fellowship. That's not a waste. That is beautiful that goes on out there. That's an identification of God's love for you being shown through one of us. God loves you. And He's got a whole lot of different ways to show you. We have to take hold of it. We have to acknowledge it. Just like I asked the children next week, identify the ways that you are being shown God's love. They're all around us. Finally, one we had the privilege of enjoying here today, and that is the sacraments. At the beginning of the month, we had the Lord's Supper. Great picture of God's love for us. We are to remember Christ's death and even proclaim it until He returns again.
That's love. Baptism. Bringing the child into the church. Or bringing a confessing, professing adult into the church. Through that sacrament, God is physically and tangibly showing you His grace. And that grace comes from His love. There are so many things around us. So many things at our disposal. So many things that come about daily where God is showing His love. You being here this morning shows your love for Him. Y'all wouldn't come do this if you didn't love Him. Do we do what is right so that we might become like Him? The passage in John says that we will be like Him and we will know Him and recognize Him when we see Him. How? Well, an aspect of that is that supernatural glorification that we will go through at the time of death and enter into heaven's gates. But part of it is also, I think, going on right now. Do you know who God is? Fully and completely through His Word. That word know is a very intimate term. It's not an awareness of. It's a deep, intimate, caring, loving knowledge.